Welcome to the Everything EC podcast. I'm your host, Carla Ward, and joining me today is Keisa Marks, who is a childcare advocate, practitioner, and founder of the Play Lab Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide access to high-quality, self-affirming care for every child, regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic status, ability, or neurotype. And today, Keisa is joining us not just to talk about what she does as an educator, but also about how her resilience helped her power through and start the PlayLab Foundation. It is truly an incredible story, and I'm so glad you're here today to hear her tell it. Welcome to the show, Keisa. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So this has been a long time coming. We have wanted to discuss things on the podcast for, oh my gosh, I swear it's been all year that we've been trying
According to Google, we did have a conversation.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Tell people about that. My gosh, that's so funny.
So my mom was looking me up and she was like, oh yeah, you did a lot of podcasts. I saw, you know, you did this podcast with Carla Ward. I'm like, no, I didn't. And she was and so we're going back and forth. I'm like, no, I love her podcast. We did not do a podcast together. And then she sent me the screenshot. So I have no idea why Google spoke it into existence, but here we are.
Here we are. And I'm so grateful for moments like that. And since you haven't been on the podcast before, please let people know who you are, what you do, and just share the love.
Thank you. I am Keisa Marks. I am a practitioner, child advocate. I have a small play and nature-based now organization in Oak Park, Illinois, and I love everything about it. We are providing equitable, high-quality, self-affirming care to people regardless of gender, socioeconomic status, neurotype, and yeah, it's all the things. It's wonderful.
There is so much that I want to like pull apart and dive into there yeah. Because I know a fraction of your story. And although you said you own a small program, it is a mighty program and it has come from a lot of work and love and perseverance. I mean, if there was ever a person that deserved the Resiliency Award for 2023, it is you, my friend.
Yeah, it was rough.
Oh,
it was
my a wild goodness. Year. Well, let's rewind, because at the time of this podcast will be going out at the beginning of 2024. So let's rewind to June 2023. Right. Share with us what just uprooted everything that you know and love about our industry.
Yes. Okay. So two things happened. I was on my way to the hardware store. I wanted to get a tree. And on my way to the hardware store, my mom and my twin sister called and told me that my cousin suddenly died. And so I was like, what? And so like that rerouted everything. I had to pull over the car. It was just awful. And then we get home and my son tells me like, oh, you know, I went to wash and there was water. And we had these fancy floors that absorb the water in the basement. And so I'm like, that doesn't sound right. I go downstairs and it's like sitting water. The next day my husband goes, there's more water. Turns out that our ejector pump broke and then it pushed out not just regular water, but waste water all in the basement where we work. So they came in and they were like, everything has to go. It's all contaminated. And this is like 14 years worth. My entire business is down there. And so, you know, it was devastating because, like I said, this is not just their material things, but this is your life's work. You put everything into it. And so to lose that was just devastating. There was definitely grieving going on because it's very, very important.
Oh my gosh. I have literal goosebumps and I know the story. I have literal goosebumps because I still haven't gotten rid of my teaching stuff and it's been six years. And I can tell you stories of, pulling over on the side of the road and going through somebody's like chucked out garbage because they got rid of a really cute little chair or, a puzzle that somebody didn't want anymore or donations. And to lose that, oh
It was
my
so
gosh.
much. So when I started my childcare business, a lot of it, those were my children's toys.
Oh.
So everything meant something. Exactly. Stopping and seeing something and like, oh my God, somebody left this on the curb. Let me take it back for the babies. And using it and everybody loving it. It was so much in there. Plus the kids' clothes. All of their the our cubbies were down there. So yeah.
So many next step questions.
Yeah.
So you've now essentially lost the vicinity to host your childcare program.
Yes.
Did you have to shut down essentially your income?
So there were so many things going on. So my life just picked up and took a life of its own. I started public speaking and then we had to reroute all of our off days. It was cuckoo bananas. Everything was going on. So I really had used up all of my personal days, all of my sick days, and we had no days off until the 4th of July holiday. So I basically had to work through grieving, my house floating away, they ripped out the walls. And we had to all be on one floor.
Oh my gosh, forgetting this is a podcast. My face right now, if you guys could see it. To me, listen, I don't wish fire, natural disasters, water on
No.
anybody, but I have dealt with a flood in a childcare center and we had to reroute the program. And that was difficult. That was the worst 8 weeks of my life to try to get that done. But I got to go home to my unflooded private
Yes.
home, and
We
you are
live here.
dealing with this. Oh my gosh.
It was so rough because it was that, there were parents who were like, "Oh, where's my child's favorite blanket?" And I'm like, "I floated away." Like
Yeah, he gone.
And I just didn't have the capacity to be like mindful, like, oh yeah, I understand. That must really suck. It's like, okay.
There's a like, are you joking me right now? You're worried about your kid's favorite blankie because I got Celeste. Oh my, I mean, yes, you want to be empathetic, da, 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 da,
Yeah,
da,
but
da,
it
but
was very
oh my
hard to do that.
gosh. Well, because you weren't just grieving one thing.
It was so many things going on. What's that movie? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Like it was all happening at the
Literally.
same time. And it took that, you said 8 weeks, it took 9 weeks. So for 9 weeks, the entire summer, we were on one floor, 7 building kids. And when they came and did the inspection for the basement, they were like, guess what? Your porch is unstable. So
Come on.
start the porch and do the porch over. So it was like,
And let's be honest, at any point were you just like, nut, screw this, I'm done.
Oh, yes. I just burn out. I was like, I can't do anything else. I feel like I'm a pretty resilient chick. I can keep going and figure out a way. Everything. I'm not a cup is half empty or half full. I'm a cup is refillable type of person. I was done. I was like, I don't know what we're gonna do. Chow line for us because I can't figure out how to come back from this.
But I think this is one of those situations where if you said, I'm done, nobody would judge you for it. Nobody would say, like, oh, you sure you can't do just one more? Like, everybody's got their limit. And I am. Nobody would have blamed you if you had said that was it, like that was your limit. But
I have hit a wall. So,
yeah,
yeah.
yet you found a door.
I did. And it was the best door. I mean, I like to say, I have a handle, my personal handle is Maybe She's Magic, and I do believe that, you know, I create these things. I never dreamed this up. It just happened. And I was like, yes, this is it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Speak more to that. Like, what came next for you?
So when I burned out, I just stopped everything. I was like, listen, I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to reroute everything and figure it out as I go. While I was doing that, a series of events happened. There were people coming to me that were looking for care. And then when they would see the price point, they would say, oh, well, I can't afford it. Now, this has always been an issue because I live in, it's a majority of upper middle class incomes here. And, but there are a lot of people who live like right on the poverty threshold, but they basically can pay their mortgage and nothing else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this happens a lot, and it definitely happens with Black people and people of color. So I have to turn away the people that I want to help. So I'm
such a struggle.
Yeah, huge struggle. So I'm thinking about that. And then because I burn out and I stopped working, then I'm thinking about my own income. Like, wait a minute. Now I'm aware of when somebody says, I can't do this. Like, oh, me neither. I can't do it.
Yeah, like you actually can't do this.
I can't do this, which I've been able to do very easily for many, many years. And so I start really thinking about how, you know, I'm always advocating for equitable practices and encouraging people to bring children from everywhere in on quality care, quality experiences, and no push down academics, because they push that in places where children are underserved, right, as their way out. But it really does them more harm than good. And
oh,
the
yes.
Kids that have the affluence, right? They're the kids that are in play-based programs. Those are the kids that are in nature-based programs. You know, those are the kids with the autonomy and the agency. And the other kids is like, sit down, shut up, do this worksheet, you know?
And if you don't, you're bad.
Get out of here. Right. And if you don't, you're bad, you're expelled, or, you know, you'll be a dropout or whatever. All this fear, 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 right? So I start thinking about it, and I think about how I grew up and what I wanted for my children. And I filled out for a mini grant from Defending the Early Years for gear for my kids. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to get my kids this gear. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking. As soon as I get the check, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm going to use this check and I'm going to start a nonprofit. And that's exactly what I did.
Amazing.
And I was like, I have to stop, you know, encouraging people and paying and donating to causes. And you actually have to be the cause. And so that's what I did.
Amazing. Amazing. Now I've got different goosebumps. So tell me more about this nonprofit. What is the intention? I mean, I know what the intention is, but tell me more about the intention and how it's going.
It is going so well. So the intention, it really came, all of this started with the pandemic, really. The pandemic rerouted my life, my business. I became play-based. I became child-centered. But as you know, with all growth, the more you grow, the more you grow. You keep finding out different things about yourself. You keep, oh, I can do this, I can do that. And you keep on evolving, right? And so 2020 led me to here. All of my kids that I took care of, they grew up, and I was able to see how wonderful and rich our relationships were. And I just wanted to keep giving that out. I wanted to have that with all of the children I took care of. But we live directly across the street from the city. Like, I can look out my window and Chicago's right there.
And it's like, that city. I'm Canadian. I'm like, okay, no problem.
Yeah,
the city.
So I'm like, I just want to give this to the children who don't have access to it. I see children outside every day, and I would love to offer them. And I have, like, if we have a free event, you know, a family event, I'll ask children to come over and join us and things like that. But to me, that feels more like, I don't know how to put it, not like a charity, but it doesn't feel like, it feels like I'm giving you one thing or an experience instead of bringing you in. I want you to be with us, you know?
You're giving them the lick, not the whole ice cream.
Exactly that. Yeah. And I wanted you to have your ice cream. So,
right. But you know what, though? It has to start somewhere.
Yes.
It has only been 7 months since your entire world turned upside down.
Yep.
Like, this is amazing. It's not even 7 months since you started a nonprofit. It has been 7 months since your world just somebody somewhere was like, we need to disrupt you right now.
That's
and
what I think.
here you go.
You're gonna shake them and shake everything. And it all started over. And I feel like it's wonderful. It was so hard, the transition. I think about like metamorphosis and how, you know, like it's this beautiful result, but it's like rough and ugly and, you know, painful. That is exactly what I went through. But on the other side, it's been wonderful.
Amazing. Amazing. What is the name of your nonprofit?
The Playlab. It's the Playlab Foundation.
Playlab Foundation. I will make sure that the link is below this podcast for everybody to check out. That is amazing. And so how are you feeling now compared to 7 months ago? How do you feel and where do you see 2024 taking you?
I cannot sleep at night with all the thoughts of where it will take me in 2024, where it will take the Playlab. As far as how I feel, I just feel like it's right. Everything just is falling into place. And when I was going through the transition, it was just like a bunch of roadblocks. Everything just didn't feel right. And even the last year, nothing felt right. I didn't feel like I could be as present as I needed to be. I couldn't be there for my babies like I wanted to be. And now it's just like this laser focus, and these relationships are like so solid, and I can see them growing. And I'm like, yeah, this is it. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
You know what? When we listen to that little voice, that little universe, whatever we believe in, when we listen, it really, really is magical.
I agree. And the problem is that we ignore it a lot.
So we
really do. Yeah.
So
my mom told me years ago that this is what I was supposed to be doing.
And I was really? Like,
no. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? When it's your mom, it's so hard to.
I'm like, you don't know me.
I just hear my own mother saying something. I'm like, mom, you don't know. You don't know. She's probably listening to this podcast right now. She knew. She always knows. Moms know best. Oh my gosh. Well, Kisa, I'm so grateful that I get to interview you after this transition, because we've been talking about this for so long. Then there was that just hot mess, for the lack of a better word, in the middle. But I'm so glad that I got to, you know, see the transformation. And I mean, your social media for the Playlab has just been incredible to watch as well, because there's so many play ideas. There's so many, just the thing that I've been loving and the thing that makes my day and the thing I miss is listening to those tiny little voices have conversations.
Yes.
It is so, so special, because there's ownership behind those words.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, does anybody appreciate this other than early educators? Because that's my favorite part.
Like, I love it.
To hear them.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
No, they really are, like we always say, children are our future, but they're also our now. They bring so much value to reminding us of what's important.
Yes. Yes. When you start looking at children as just human beings, everything changes. I mean, you're much more compassionate. You're much more forgiving. You're willing to go back and forth with them, because you're thinking like, okay, yeah, if I don't like something, you're going to hear me tell you that I don't like it. And so it's just, it changes everything.
1,000%. I can feel the time, like the exact moment that that changed for me and made me a better teacher, made me a better person. I would probably even say made me a better wife, because I became a lot more tolerant of my lovely husband's ADHD. Just you pause and you reflect more. And it just makes you a better person, and it makes them better people as well. Yeah. Treating children like human beings, you would think would be a natural thing, but it is not. No,
it's not, because we've all been, well, not all of us, but for the most part, you know, people treat you like, oh, that's my child, that's my possession. You know, I'm their parent, or I'm their authority figure, and I tell you what to do, and I just kind of plug you in to different places, right? You're not real, you know, you're resilient, you'll be okay. That's a whole human being with a brain and a heart. And, you know, and once we realize that, if we take a moment to think about how huge that is, we should behave differently. So I know I did.
Should being the key word, but yes. Mm-hmm. And me too. Absolutely. And like for myself personally, I found myself acknowledging their feelings more, but not in that condescending way of, right, I see that you're angry.
Yeah.
It's let's like, I get take it. Three deep breaths. Yes. It's mm-hmm. like, you know what? Yeah. I don't want to go outside in the rain either. But you know what? When we get out there, it's going to be way more fun because we're going to be doing this together.
Yeah. You know, the quick story, one thing that I always think about, back in my like teacher days, it would be so offensive to hear a child say they didn't want to come. It's like, I live here and I didn't want to come downstairs this morning. Like, that is the most human thing a person can say. I didn't mean that. You know?
I also find that when you acknowledge them in that sincere way, mm-hmm. their whole physical body language changes to like, oh, you're not going to fight with me? Yeah, like all the steam that they had ready to go mm-hmm. with you just went mm-hmm. poof, right out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I run an online tutoring business, and mm-hmm. the children forget I can hear them having the conversation with their mother off camera. Why do I have to tutor? I don't want to tutor. And I'm like, honey, mm-hmm. listen, like there is a new episode of Outlander on, and I would really prefer to be watching that over doing your high school math. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we're here, so let's make the best of it. Mm-hmm. And then you get to go do your thing, and I'll go do my thing.
That's right.
Right? And they're like,
think that too? You don't want to be with me?
Yeah. And I'd be like, I like spending time with you, but I would much rather do this than grade 6 math.
Yeah.
So no, 100% treating them like humans and remembering that we're human. We don't have to want to be there either, to your point. Like it is okay for us not to want to go to work every day.
Yeah.
Obviously we don't always share that with the children, but if we don't want to, they're not going to want to. So you're a bang on that one.
And I think it's about removing the personal feelings from it, right? That child is not saying, I don't want to be with you, Kisa. Mm-hmm. That child is simply saying, I didn't want to leave what I was doing. I was comfortable at home. There's nothing to do with you. No. Just like when I don't want to come downstairs, it's not because I don't want to see your beautiful brown eyes. It's just that I didn't want to stop what I was doing.
Yeah. I was watching Miss Rachel and she was fun. 100%.
Once you start to stop taking it personally, then you can just see that shared humanity between the two of you. Like these are universal things.
Absolutely. And something that I always found worked really well was like, oh, were you doing something really fun before we got together? Yeah. Well, what was it? Well, I was watching, this is my student last night. Yeah. I was watching lipstick videos on TikTok and I'm like, really? That's better than me, but okay. Like, and then I was like, oh, well, was there a favorite color you liked? And then that 5 minutes spent talking about lipstick changed the entire route for what could have been an absolute disaster of an hour.
Yeah, because they were being heard.
Yeah.
You know, and they were able to vent. They were able to know that it was okay to be annoyed. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't even have TikTok, and certainly lipstick videos would not be my first choice, but to each their own. I mean, you have taken pivoting resiliency and turned it into just something so beautiful that will leave a legacy. I mean, and really, if for no other reason to be on this earth is to leave a mark and make a difference in the world. And that is what you are doing.
Thank you. I would think this is some impactful stuff. And I did not know Like, all I wanted to do was help my little babies in my little pocket. And I'm like, no, this is bigger than that. And
it is incredible what happens when we listen to what we're being called to do.
Yep.
Kisa, where can people find you on socials to support this incredible project you have?
Well, our website is the Playlab NFP oakpark.org. And then we're on Instagram at the Playlab NFP. I believe that's the same thing on Instagram. And my personal page is Maybe She's Magic. And I'm on I'm Still Learning. I have a lot of stuff going on over there because one is for the educators, one is for just me as Kisa, and one is for the Playlab. So.
Incredible. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I'm so sure that others will be able to take inspiration from it. I certainly have.
Thank you.